Well, if you can turn over to 1 Thessalonians, or it's on your sheet there as well, 1 Thessalonians 1, we're going to read from there. First Thessalonians 1, verse 2. First Thessalonians 1, verse 2. It says, "We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your works of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were for among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come." So I want to focus on several parts there. Verse 5, it says, "For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance." Our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power. We're going to say more about that. Verse 8 says, From you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. So we see here, the gospel did not come to these people just in word, but in power. Not only in word, we're going to read more about that. Let's go actually down. You have this on your sheet. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. We'll read there, and then I think we'll go forward a little bit, but just to flesh this out a little bit. 1 Corinthians 1. Y'all there? It says, "For the message of the cross, is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age?" That word disputer means debater. I think we have any of that going on now. "Where is the debater or the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolishness the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Now look at one more verse, then we're going to say some things just down a little bit in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1. So just down a few verses from where you are right now. It says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Now I want to go back through some of this with you. We read here in 1 Corinthians 1:18, go back there and look on your sheet. It says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing." It's foolishness. You can see that in the age we live in. The message of the cross is foolishness. You know, in this day and age, but this is written 2,000 years ago. The same thing then. Don't think it's anything new what we're facing now. Just because men have increased in knowledge, like we were saying last week, men have increased in knowledge, but they still know so little compared to the Almighty. It's not even worth talking about. It's a blip compared to all the knowledge that can be known. And yes, men have increased, but even in Jesus' day, even in Paul's day here, the cross, the message of the cross, was considered foolish. How much more now, where people think they've developed past this knowledge. And it's dangerous. It's what's in the earth now. Because people have thought they've gotten, and this is exactly what this is talking about, it's just, you can see how it applies where we are now. People have gotten to the point where they think they're educated beyond needing religion, quote unquote. Well, religion is man-made. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is not religion. Religion is man's ways, and there are many religions in the earth. And this is what men say. Well, they're all the same. We've been educated past that. We know more. We don't need that. It's a crutch for weak, ignorant people. This is exactly what this is talking about. It says the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are what?
Perishing.
So in other words, people that need to be saved aren't being saved, and they think the way to get out is foolish. There's a reason for that. It's because they have help. It says, "But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." See, when you act on the message, when you act on what Jesus did, the very power of God is resident to transform us, to save us, to wash us, to make us clean, to make us right with God. Look at verse 9 on your sheet of 1 Thessalonians 1, just right before where we were reading. It says, "For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come." See, He was raised from the dead, and He delivers us from the wrath to come. There is a judgment, and the way to avoid, to be free, to be out, is through believing on Him. Believing on Jesus, what we're talking about today. We're saying He has risen. Well, that message itself, people will scoff. Say, that's a fable. But that's the way out. That's the only way. It says there, for they themselves declared concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. People say, well, isn't those dumb people, they had idols. And then, you know, we don't have idols. Oh, really? In this day and age? See, people, when they think of an idol, they think of like a piece of wood that somebody puts on their mantle or something, and that's an idol. Oh, no. An idol is anything that would pull you away from God that you esteem higher than the true God. And it can be anything in this today. You can just name it. You can make an idol out of it. So this is very much applicable to us today, and people turning away from idols to the true God, to serve the living and true God. Serve the one that is, the one that he sent his son to truly to rescue us, to make a way for us to be saved. And this is foolishness. People say this is foolish in the world. This doesn't make sense. And people will argue over it. And it won't come. People will not believe because of arguing. And if you think you're just going to argue somebody, let's debate them and I'll convince them. Most people that are debating, they don't want to be convinced. They'll have the discussion with you, and 2 hours later, you go your part your ways. You haven't done anything but waste 2 hours of your life. Because they don't want to change. They want to argue. Yep. Now, if somebody's sincere and wants their questions answered, that's one thing. But a large part, if people are bringing up points, is because they've already made up their mind, they're not going to believe. Because you can't convince them through arguing that it's true. Because look at the Pharisees. They saw miracles. They saw the early church. They saw what Peter was doing. They saw people rate a man that had never walked. You think, well, miracles will convince people. They're supposed to, but they don't have to. In this day and age, they will increase again. But people still scoff. You think that's going to change the whole world? No, it won't. It will give the ability for people to see, and it'll give them a support. God said he would prove, he would follow the word with signs and wonders. But people still scoff. They don't have to believe. God won't make anybody believe. Those people, the Pharisees, saw a man who had never walked. Now he's walking. And these guys went around in circles asking, well, who healed you? How did it happen? And brought in his parents and went back. And the guy said, I've told you already. You want to become his disciples too? And that really ticked them off. They did not want to become his disciples. They were mad. They saw the healing power of God. They saw the early church spreading. And they hardened their heart and said, no, that's not the way. We have the way. So you see variants of that throughout the world now. People say, no, that's foolishness. And they'll explain away anything. Well, no, that's just another book. And we'll get to that, maybe. But right here, it says, it's not just in word only, it's in the power. There will be power. But that's different than debate. You're just thinking, I'm going to debate somebody. The Bible already says here it's foolishness. People just, whatever, you're babbling, you don't know, you've drunk the Kool-Aid, you know, blah, blah, blah. And they can sit there and dismiss with the power of God right in front of them. The Holy Spirit of God. Go back down to in 1 Corinthians, so we read in verse 18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it's the power of God. The message of the cross, that Jesus came into the earth as a baby, that he went through this life as a man, grew in wisdom and stature, that he went to the cross for you and I, that he was originally born of a virgin. He went to a cross. He died by crucifixion, horrible death. He took that beating. If you haven't seen the movie, The Passion of the Christ, I encourage you, go watch it. It will pull on you. And it's probably worse than what it looks like in that movie. It's a very well-done movie. But what Jesus did for us, when you see what he did physically, but that is, the fact that he did that, the fact that then he rose from the dead, and then that paid the price for you and I, that was the ransom. See, Satan had no right to hold him. He paid the price for all mankind, whether they receive it or not. Right now, the debt for all mankind is paid. Do you realize that? The whole world's sins are paid for, and everybody that's going to live has been paid for. You say, how does that all add up? The Bible says so. See, this is where people, then they go, well, how did that happen? How did that happen? How did that happen? And it's like, no, that's foolishness. And the answer's there. How do you receive it? You believe it. You believe the witnesses that are in this word, that these were written down for our benefit, that they've been passed down to say, this happened. This tomb was empty. Jesus rose. And he appeared to people afterwards. There are eyewitnesses to this. There are many eyewitnesses to the more so than many historical facts that we take for granted. But you can go around in circles. People say, well, how? You have to believe it. And when you believe it, it's the power of God. Notice it says, the message of cross is foolishness to what? Those who are perishing. See, something happens when you decide, I'm going to believe it. Because when we hear the word, the Spirit of God there is to, faith will come. Faith will come. It'll be right there. And every person has the ability to reject or accept the word. And they can push it down and suppress it and says, no, I'm not going to believe. I won't believe. And that's really what it comes down to. It's not I can't. It's I won't. Because people believe all kinds of stuff. There is no such thing as I can't believe something. You can believe. You choose not to. Well, I just can't believe. I need it proven to me. That's not the way it works. God, if God's real, you should prove himself to me. Says who? If he did any more proving, it wouldn't take any faith. He is proving himself. You just wake up and see the sun. You see a little baby. You see a man and a woman and the differences and the way all that stuff works. It says that in, was it Proverbs? He says, you know, the way men and women work and different things. He said, you look at that and say, oh, this all just happened. Really? You believe that? It takes more faith to believe that. Just over time, if you have enough time, it'll happen, really. Instead of going, oh, somebody made that. Somebody, you know, you have two eyes, and the symmetry and everything, and the way we work, and really, this is all that's hard to believe. God has shown himself. The Bible says he has. He's revealed himself through the creation. And we have an opportunity then to act on that and say, I believe that. There is a creator. Okay, let's just cut through it. Somebody made this thing. I may not understand it, but he's a big individual. Like we were talking last week, he is so vast. Who created this universe? How big is that being? This universe blows our mind how big it is, but somebody put it into motion. We're not going to understand everything. We're just understanding more every day as a human race. But God already knew it. When this was written, God knew everything it would take for all the modern technology that we have right now. Right. We just discovered how to do it, but it was all existing and he knew. Well, nothing is new to him. He knows. But this message is foolishness to those that are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. When you step in and believe, then something happens. Then the Bible becomes alive. People say, I can't understand the Bible. Well, we won't. Unbelievers will say, well, what about this and that? Well, you're not going to understand the Bible until you decide to believe God, because the Holy Spirit is there working with you to help you to understand it. You'll have the faith that it will take, you'll have the faith present that it will take to believe on Jesus. And if you take that step, you'll get more. And if you take those steps, you'll get more. But if you stop and say, I want to understand before I take that step, it won't happen. It's the same as we grow with God. Look at verse 19. 1 Corinthians 1:19 says, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer or the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God. Notice that. For since in the wisdom of God, so God set it up like this, the world through wisdom did not know God. So in man's wisdom, they can't know God. And it's because people have become to where I don't believe it. I'm too educated to believe in a God. That's where a lot of people are. And it's crippling. They don't step forward to believe and act on the very salvation that God has provided. It says, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message priest to save those who what? Who believe. How are you saved? Through believing. Through faith. Verse 22, for Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, the weakness of God is stronger than men. Not that God is weak, but it's saying even something that looks like God's, you know, weaker demonstration is still stronger than anything men can come up with. You know, the weakness of God is stronger in men. I mean, look at what men has come up with power-wise. Like a nuclear weapon would probably be almost as big as it gets. Well, that's nothing compared to the sun. And the sun is a small, small sun. You want to say it that way, I mean, it's a lot bigger suns than our sun, and that sun is ridiculously bigger than one nuclear weapon. God is so much bigger. He's so much bigger. Go down to 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. Notice that. He said, I didn't come with a real fancy speech, declaring to you the testimony of God. He said, I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He said, I'm not going to focus on anything but what Jesus did. I'm not coming to you with some fancy... See, so that's what we were tempted to do. Let's package it up in something that we can say, see, this is cool. See, this is just fits right in. Paul didn't do that. Paul just said, well, preach Jesus and Him crucified, that He rose from the dead, that because of that, you can be saved. And we try to dress it up. We try to make it palatable. Good luck. That's why you can't debate it. People have to receive what Jesus did or not. It says, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. Notice that. What we're celebrating today, you can't explain. Any phase of it, how did Jesus get to this earth without a father, earthly father? Right there, you stop in your tracks. Well, but you can read it in the Bible. The Spirit of God overshadowed Mary. There you go. And she was with child. Okay. Well, you have to believe that. See, if people say, well, I don't believe that, you're done. There's no salvation. I mean, there's no salvation for mankind Jesus already tainted. Jesus already tainted by the bloodline of Adam. He's already, you see, but he didn't have a father on the earth. Mm-hmm. So I don't believe that. You don't believe the gospel. See, what we're talking about today, you take faith at any step, so then Jesus rose, and he never sinned. He never missed it one time. He walked. He had the same pressures you and I face, never missed it once. Well, I can't believe that. Well, we don't. Then if he missed it, he has no right to save you and I and to be in our stead. And then he went to the cross and was crucified for us. He died. And he rose again from the dead. Well, I can't believe that. He didn't really rise from the dead. You know, his disciples just told everybody that. Well, then we're done. Like it says in our place, we're the biggest fools on planet. And he said, why don't we just go party and just have fun? Because we're all going to die. And we're not saved, and all this stuff is a bunch of nonsense. But if he did raise from the dead, then this message is the most important there is. If it's true, then there's life and death in the balance. Doesn't matter. See, this is where it seems foolish, but if this is the only way that we can be saved from a devil's hell that was made for the devil and his angels as a punishment, but anybody he can deceive into rejecting Jesus will suffer the same fate as he, then there is great stakes weighing in the balance. And what we're celebrating today is the payment, is the ransom for you and I to be in the kingdom of heaven, to be in the family of God when we were aliens, when we deserved to be punished forever. Which there just blows our mind. We can't comprehend that. People say, well, it's not forever. It is forever. But God's just and merciful. But see, this message we're talking about, every step of the way, it requires faith. You can't. What it says here, it says, it's not my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. How do you explain this rationally? Huh? Well, this is what really happened, and so then you can receive it. I'm gonna give you all the straight facts. How Jesus was born of a virgin, how his life living through on this earth, and his death, burial, and resurrection paid for you and I and ransomed us. You can take those things by faith and believe what the Bible says. Well, I can't see God. I can't see the fact that there was an enemy. I can't see the fact that these beings existed before I ever was a speck in the galaxy. How long have they been around? God's been around forever. Don't know how long Satan's been around. But a while. Long time. There is a history before you and I came on the earth. Say, well, we don't know a lot about certain things that early on. We don't know about certain things. You can't be dogmatic about certain things but we do know what the Bible says. We do know that Jesus came. We do know by faith that he died and he rose from the dead, and because of that we can be saved. But you have to take it by faith. There is no debate. We can go around in circles. People go around in circles, but this is exactly what Paul is saying here. I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I basically flushed my other knowledge and said, knowing Jesus and what he did, that's the important thing. This other stuff I can put aside. He said, I didn't try to convince you, verse 4. My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and with power. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That we shouldn't look to what men are saying, what men are doing. See, men have created religion all over the world. Somewhere, somebody started a belief system and got off the main line of believing God, and today, offspring follow those things. But that doesn't change the truth. That doesn't change the fact that there is a true God, that there is a real God, and that Jesus is, in fact, the only way that we could come to God. Amen. And if he did not raise from the dead, if only he died and he didn't raise from the dead, we're done. If he has not risen, Christmas is great that Jesus came as a baby, but if he did not raise from the dead, then he's still in the grave, just like all the other leaders of other religions are still in the grave. But our King has risen. And how do we receive what he did? We believe that. We believe that. Look at on your sheet, Romans 1:16. You can stay in 1 Corinthians where you turn. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. I'm not ashamed of the power of the gospel of Christ. Will you believe that? Yeah, I believe it. See, we're not to be ashamed. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. The power of God. This message we believe is the very power of God. Through the foolishness of the message preached, God has chosen to save people. You say, well, I want to be able to rationalize it, you know, so it makes me feel comfortable. You will never do that. Now, I didn't say you have to be weird. Huh? There's a difference. We don't have to be weird. We don't have to tell people about the gospel in a weird way. We don't have to wave our arms and jump up and down. But also, if you think you're going to, well, let me see, let's go about this really rationally. I'm not saying you turn your brain off, but the main part of the gospel, you will not be able to rationalize. The things we just talked about, you can't explain them. You know, people talk about all these different parts of the Bible. Well, what about this and what about that? Well, you know what? If you can believe that God sent his son through a virgin, which is a miracle, and then he lived a sinless life, and died and rose again, the power of God rose, then why would you have any trouble believing all the other miracles in the Bible? The very core of what we believe is the power of God. There's no problem God splitting the Red Sea. There's no problem with Lazarus raising, you know, coming, being raised from the dead. There's no problem with blind eyes being opened. None of this is hard, because we believe what Jesus did. That's the power of God. If that's the power of God, again, what being are we talking about? Why is this hard to believe? It's not hard to believe. When you get on faith side and you realize who you're dealing with, you're like, well, this is nothing. I mean, God raising a human body from the dead when he created the whole universe, really? That's hard to believe? It's not hard to believe. The power that we talked about, like the power that the sun harnesses, and that's just something small, and the being that created that, and then he created the human body, and to say that he could tweak it a little bit and it'd be healed, oh, that's so hard. That's not hard to believe. It becomes really easy to believe when you start realizing who we're dealing with. We don't need to be ashamed. Well, I just can't explain it in just rational terms. There's a whole lot we can't explain. That doesn't mean it's not true. It means we don't understand some stuff. If we understood the way God understands, it would be crystal clear. right? Just go back 100 years, 150 years, before a lot of the modern scientific advancements we've made. You know, the early 1900s, before the theory of relativity and Einstein found out some things, they were under a much different perception of the world. You know, just classical physics and things. They didn't understand what was really going on. And the fact is, we have theories that explain it better, but we don't precisely understand either. Well, it's the same thing. You know, if you tried to explain to somebody 150 years ago what the stuff's going on now, you'd be like, well, but you got to understand this and this and this. Well, it's not that it's weird or you know, not true. It's just that to understand all that's, you have to understand everything that's in between to get here. Well, it's the same thing with God. When God says something, we'll go, well, how is that? If you understood the way God said, you'd say, well, of course. Just because we're limited and God says it's this, we don't know that we weren't there in the foundations of the world. We don't know everything that God knows. That's why it's a wise person that will say, if God said it, I believe it. That's it. It's not foolishness. If God said it, it's wise. It's the wisdom of God. It may look foolish to men, but men don't understand certain things. If you went 150 years ago and told people that, you know, when you go really fast, actually time slows down, they'd probably look at you like, what? Like the theory of relativity. That's true. This type of stuff is how, those type of things are how we got to advance. We saw certain things really happening in reality, but if you tried to tell somebody, they'd be like, what? Huh? And we're dealing with universal realities. We're dealing with the laws of God, things that are way outside human comprehension. And so when we see the Word of God, the wisest thing to do is to say, whether I understand that or not, I believe it. And then we'll get more understanding. Amen. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Now go back to, you're still in 1 Corinthians, right? Go over to chapter 4. Thank you, Lord. God is so good. He is so good. He is so merciful. He is a good God. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 18. Notice this. It says, now some are puffed up as though I were not coming to you, but I will come to you shortly if the Lord wills, and I will know not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. Looking on your sheet there in the New Living Translation, it says, some of you have become arrogant, thinking, I will not visit you again, but I will come, and soon, if the Lord lets me, and then I'll find out whether these arrogant people just give pretentious speeches or whether they really have God's power. For the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk, it is living by God's power. Hallelujah. Well, we can debate and debate. Well, I don't know about that. Paul's saying, enough debate. Do you walk in the power of God or not? Because there's a whole lot of that. There's a whole lot of religion. Well, I don't know about that theory. And they try to talk in circles. The bottom line is, do we walk and see what the Bible says we ought to see and be experiencing? Is the Spirit of God truly with us? The power of God. It said, the Bible said the power, that the gospel is the power of God until salvation. Do we walk and see the truth? It's not about trying to explain all the things so that it sounds right. It's about, are we yield, the gospel is the power. Preaching the gospel and people receiving the gospel, being healed or being saved, but also being healed, God being there, taking care of what we need, that He is a truly big God and concerned with us. When people believe that, their lives change. Lives are transformed. Has anybody experienced that? People could try to talk, they could talk blue and talk to you till they're blue in the face, but you've experienced God's transforming power. I know I have. I mean, there are people that have tried program after program, pill after pill, and they're free. And you can say whatever you want, but the power of God's real. Amen. And the gospel works. People that couldn't get free of certain things, but they relied on God. God helped them. God's power helped them. The word of God set them free. This is not something we ought to be ashamed of. This is not something I've said, well, yeah, I believe that. I believe Jesus. We ought to say, yes, I believe Jesus. You realize that the people that believed on God are going to be, you're going to look very smart when we're in heaven. And you ran your race like the Bible's true. There are going to be rewards in heaven. No matter what anybody says, everybody's going to walk out of this world. And you know what? Whether you believed in hell or not, if you didn't receive Jesus, they're going to walk out and say, ooh, it was true. And scoffers, people that say, there is no God. It's not true. It's not real. Everybody's going to find out. I'd rather be working and living for the King now and take as many people with us as we possibly can. Not being ashamed. I'm not saying throw it in people's face using wisdom, but if the Spirit of God's prompting you, you're talking to somebody and you know them and you have credibility with them, having a conversation with them. Because God doesn't say turn off your brain. There's a difference between if somebody wants to talk about it, you can talk about it. And you know what the greatest thing you can do? Tell them what God's done for you. Because nobody can take that away from you. What has it done for your life? And somebody that's sincere and asking questions, or you're talking with them, they know you. You know, you sitting here, the people that will hear the recording will reach people that I will never reach. And they don't care what I say. And they don't care necessarily what a preacher says. But they'll listen to you because they know you and they've watched you. And if you say something, what? You believe that too? Well, why do you believe that? Well, let me tell you what he's done for me. See, that's the power of the gospel. That'll cut through all the debate. Intellectualism, let me tell you what he did for me and my family. Let me tell you how he changed me. Let me tell you what he did in my body. See, that's a testimony. That's the power of God. Now, I'm not saying because of what you did, they'll receive, but it gives them the opportunity to receive. They hear the gospel. And now it's up to them. It's up to their will. Will they act on it? But this, what we're celebrating today, we ought to be bold. We ought to be thankful. We ought to be just at peace about walking this. Not like, because the world, and we know it very well, it's putting pressure to try to embarrass all the different avenues that society has shown through either things online or movies, television shows. It has portrayed Christians as weak, as stupid, as foolish, as backwards, as ignorant. So the pressure is, well, I don't want to identify. I don't want my friends to think I'm like that. Well, you're not like that. And the gospel's not like that. That is somebody trying to shut down the gospel. That is a fable. That is a lie. That's not true. Well, they just shut their brains off. They're just weak. That's not true. That's a lie stemming from the pit of hell, from the God of this world trying to stop the gospel from going away. He is the deceiver. This is part of the deception. And people listen to it, and it is a pressure, a social pressure. When I grew up, there was a pressure. It was like, well, I go to that church, I'm embarrassed. I didn't know what I know now. We need to be taught. We need to know what the Word of God says and be bold and say, look, this is real. Again, I'm not talking about being weird. There's weirdness. People, you're dealing with people, you're going to have weirdness. Doesn't matter if it's church, doesn't matter where it is. I mean, don't raise your hand, but how many of you work with somebody that would you consider weird? And they're not Christian. Huh? They're just a person. And they think you're weird. It goes both ways, right? But just this thing about, well, Christians are weird. No, no, no. People are weird. You get people a hold of anything, they'll take it into the weeds. Huh? Just go Google online. I mean, how many clubs are there and how many people? People are nuts about certain things. They collect certain things. They're all about this cause. They're in, you know, Instagram, Twitter. They're all about this. And you're like, really? You're that spun up about that? Yeah. Yeah, they are. That's their life. Well, but Christians are really weird. No, no, no. People are weird, and they take stuff, and they mess around with it. Okay, just because we get some wildfire, we get some people, doesn't mean we got to put the blankets on everything and say, well, we don't want any of it. No. We want the power of God. No, the true gospel, Jesus is not weird. He's not weird. He's a person, and he's sitting at the throne, the right hand of the Father right now. And I guarantee you, if he walked in here right now, his spirit's here. The spirit of God's here. But if he walked in here right now, you would not say, well, that guy's weird. You would be overwhelmed. Like Jesus, like Shelley mentioned earlier, just seeing the love in his eyes. Brother Hagin saw when he was on earth many visions of Jesus. Talked to him. Not many people see the Master. But few do. And he saw him. And he said the best way he could describe looking into his eyes, it was just like wells of liquid love. I mean, you imagine seeing Jesus face to face, the one who died and bled for you, and looking at you. And Brother Hagin got down and started, said, oh, I'm just unworthy. And he said, get up. Don't do that. I've made you worthy. But Jesus is not weird. The Holy Spirit is not weird. The gifts of the Spirit are not weird. Amen. The thing is, the gifts of the Spirit, you know, people have a history. Maybe. I have a history. I grew up around some of these things. The gifts of the Spirit are manifest through people. Just so you know. God does not control people. They come out. It's the Spirit of God moving, but people can sense the presence of God and Spirit. That doesn't mean everything they do with that is God. Okay? So they might go whacked out and you know, look at the history of the Pentecostal movement. You got names like Holy Roller and Tongue Talkers. Well, speaking in tongues is scriptural. But when people do it and how they do it, is sometimes it can be weird. Huh? And there's people that are rolling around the floor. Well, you know, barking like a dog, that's not the Spirit of God doing that. Maybe they're rolling at a certain time, but God is not an animal. Okay? Vomiting, getting spirits. People have done a lot of stupid, weird stuff. I shouldn't say stupid. They maybe have been sincere. They've done weird things. It's not, that doesn't mean God's weird. That means he's working through people. And the message of the gospel is not weird. You're talking about the creator of the universe. You're talking about his son dying on a cross for us. A real sacrifice. And the world, like this said, it considers it foolishness. And they have help in believing that because every effort has been made to make it negligible. To make it on the fringe. Make it like you don't want to be associated with that because it's weird. Who said it's weird? You ever ask you a question, who's telling you that? Well, I saw some weird stuff. Okay, where did it come from? Like I said, you can see weird stuff. Go down to Walmart and see if you see any weird stuff. Huh? Go to the mall, see if you see any weird stuff. Does that mean malls and Walmart's bad? No. It means people are weird. Not all people are weird. I mean, people have a tendency to be weird. And you know, you get the power of God, and you get people that believe something and they're sincere, but they can be weird. That doesn't mean church is weird. Doesn't mean God is weird. Doesn't mean the Holy Spirit is weird. I mean, speaking in tongues is weird. It means people do weird stuff. The real is powerful. The real is the gospel. The real is the Spirit of God moving on this earth. And it is not weird. It will change lives. It will change bodies. It will change people dealing with something. It will change their marriage. Huh? It is the power of God. And Paul said, I am not ashamed. And we shouldn't be ashamed. We should be bold. Yeah, I believe that. You want to hear about it? No? Okay. I'm not going to shove it down your throat. Let me know if you do. Because Jesus is real and he's done something for me. You don't have to be weird about it. You don't got to shove it down people's throats. You know, people a lot of times have gotten the wrong idea about sharing the gospel. And so they feel this pressure to share the gospel. And they feel people have gotten the wrong idea and taken scriptures out of context, thinking that that people's blood is on their hands. If they see somebody and they don't tell them the word of God, then they're going to be accountable. That's not true. It's if God tells you to talk to somebody and you don't, that's something you're accountable for. But you're not accountable for everybody on the planet. Huh? And then you're walking down the street and I got to tell this person. Well, yeah, it comes off weird. They don't know you. Think about it opposite. If somebody's talking to you, you're like, well, what are you selling? Well, that's exactly what they think. And it's in this day and age, yeah, maybe people could knock on doors 50 years ago, but somebody comes knocking down your door now, you're locking the door and calling the police. Huh? That doesn't fly now. It's different. We got to use sense. But you know, if you know somebody and you're talking to have a conversation, be real. Don't hide the gospel. You guys sure seem to have a good relationship. It's Jesus. You have to say it however you say it, but you know what? God is central to our life. The Word of God has changed us. Jesus has changed us. You don't got to grab somebody on the street and say you got to get saved or you're going to hell. Only if God told you that. Huh? That'll free up people. You don't have to. You're not the world's Savior. There is a Savior. His name is Jesus. Your job is to be led by Him and to go and talk to people as the Spirit would lead you. This message, what we're celebrating today, is nothing. It is nothing to be ashamed of. It's to be celebrated. And thank God we know the truth. Thank God our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Huh? We're going to heaven, it's a real place, and we're going to see each other up there. But right now we have a job to do. And it's not something we need to be ashamed about. We need to be celebrating and thanking God and just letting your life be what it is, shine. Somebody's asking about something, you don't have to hide it. Be real. Well, they think it's weird. Where did that thought come from? Who said that? Ask yourself that. I mean, do you think you're weird? Why would you think if I say something, it'll be weird? Because of what you've seen and been programmed with, that's weird. That's an attack. That's a tactic to shut you down, to shut the church down. And it's a lie. I said it's a lie because just like you found the gospel and it's changed your life, there are people all over the world that they need Jesus because that's the condition of the world. It's not a crutch. It's the state of humanity that God sent His Son to save us. And His way works. The Bible is truth. And just like you received it, and just like it's working in your life, is the same way there are many other people that will receive it and want it. Amen. They just don't know what it is. Us sharing it gives them the opportunity, gives the Holy Spirit the opportunity to work. Now, faith's going to be there. Now, they have a choice. But just like you had a choice, they can have a choice. And it is the power of God unto salvation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't you go ahead and stand to your feet?